We're in Shmuel Bet. We are learning Perek Gimel. We're week number 5. We're up to Pasuk Chav Ches on page 220. So, at this point in this Perek, Avner, he's no longer alive. He was already killed in the previous Pasuk, which we saw last week. He was killed by a man by the name of Yoav, as a form of revenge for Avner having killed Asael. Now, the question was, David really, was he happy about this? Did he approve this? Apparently not, as we're going to see in these next psukim, that he's going to be very upset that Avner was killed. After all, Avner now is going to bring peace and harmony into Klal Yisrael for the first time, where there was before this a civil war, quite literally between the side of David and the side of Ish-bosheth. Avner now siding with David, that would have ended everything, all the fighting, all the future wars. And now that Yoav kills Avner, maybe it's all going to start again. And therefore this is obviously not something which David was very pleased about, as we will now see. Pasuk Chav Ches.
Was not related to David.
Yeah, he was. Nephew.
Yoav ben Tsruya. Well, Tsruya was not the name of his father, but the name of his mother. Because Tsruya and David were siblings. Were brothers. Brother and sister. They're siblings. Yes.
So this is his nephew. Yoav's brother was killed.
Yes.
Right.
By Avner? By Avner, yes. Right. Okay. The question is, was it murder or was it on the battlefield? It was on the battlefield. Maybe he was protecting himself. So that's up to interpretation, which we're going to see when we hopefully get to Pasuk Lamed. Pasuk Chav Ches.
Yoav was also David's general in the army. He was right, yeah. Just like Avner was
right.
For
exactly.
Moshe,
right.
Yoav was
for exactly. Him. Exactly. Okay. Pasuk Chav Ches. V'yishman David me'achrei chen. So David heard about this whole business afterwards, implying that he had no idea what was happening, that this was what Yoav had planned or plotted to do against Avner. V'yomer noki anochi, I am innocent, David says, I'm clean. U'mamlachti, as well as my kingdom, translates guiltless. Me'im Hashem ad olam, before Hashem ad olam forever. Midmei Avner ben Ner, from the blood of Avner ben Ner, and some explain the idea of Me'im Hashem is because sometimes there are certain mitzvot which we find it says, V'yireitem Elokecha, that you have to fear God, because there's no way to figure out whether or not you intended to do a crime or not. It's all in your head. For example, Litnei Iver L'titein Michshol, you're not able to put a stumbling block before someone who's blind. Not literally, but you can't give someone bad advice. And you can say, oh, I didn't mean to give bad advice. Hashem knows what your true intentions were. And therefore, Me'im Hashem, that David is saying, even Hashem could testify that I had no intention whatsoever in bringing about the death of Avner. We look at the Mesudas David on this Pasuk, which is the very top of the page. There are a lot of Mefarshim that we are going to see on this page. They weren't underlined because that source sheet was before, from a few weeks before I prepared it. But nonetheless, first line in the Mesudas David, Naki Anochi, Ratzalomer, that is, he wants to tell us, Lo Medaitines, this was not done with my own das, with my consent, the Anoki Miha Onish, and therefore I should be clean and innocent from punishment, Hin Onish Beguv, Hin Bedbar Hamalchus, I should not be punished. Physically on my body, also with regard to my malchus should not be taken away. Why is he so concerned about his malchus being taken away? After all, the pasuk says umamulachti. It's because he saw his predecessor. That the reason why Shaul, what happened to him? He also had his malchus taken away because of the mistakes that he made. So therefore, maybe it would be the same thing here. And therefore, he says, I'm pretty much innocent, so leave me alone. If we look in the English on page 221, quoting the words of the Abarbanel, he says, afterwards, the key word of afterwards is that Scripture testifies that David was unaware of Yoav's recalling Avner and of his plans to kill him only after afterwards did David learn of this? Because otherwise, you can say, all right, if you knew what was happening, you saw him going to get Avner, come on, you know that he hates him, so you should have protested. He had no clue what was going on. He was completely not informed, and therefore he feels that he is completely nucky, or translated as guiltless. The only other thing that Mefarshim discuss over here is the incorrect word chosen in this pasuk when it comes to the death of Avner. It says that it was, I am innocent from the midmei Avner ben Ner. Midmei does not mean from the singular blood of Avner that was spilled. Midmei is lashon rabim. It's plural. But just as we find the exact same words in Parshat Bereishit, we find the same thing with Cain and Hevel, that when Cain killed his brother Hevel, it also says this language, kol demei achicha so'akim elai, that the bloods of your brother are crying. What do you mean he only killed one person? So as we, the Mefarshim explained, that when you kill him, it's, you don't just kill him, you kill his future descendants, all people after him, all individuals who were potentially going to be born, obviously cannot happen anymore. So therefore, it's not just one, but it's many. It's demei, midemei Avner ben Ner.
Why is it Ad Olam? Ad Olam. What do you need the Ad Olam there?
It could mean, I think. It could be, so I think some of the Mefarshim over here discussed that there's two different ways you can get punished. You can get punished in this world, and you can get a Misa B'di Adam, Bar Beis Din can punish you, and also B'di Shemayim. You get a Misa B'di Shemayim. So even though maybe you're innocent here, you're found not guilty, but if you really did some things which weren't 100%, then you can be punished with the Shemayim. So therefore, Ad Olam may be alluding to Olam Haba, could be alluding to a futuristic world.
Or maybe future generations. Sometimes Hashem doesn't punish
it's
right
true.
Away.
That's right. Absolutely. Right. Absolutely. In fact, that concept we're going to be seeing in the Radak in the next Pasuk. Pasuk of Tess. We'll get to that. First, the choice of words that he uses. Now, he's a king. He could kill Yoav. He's not going to kill Yoav, but he can certainly harm him with his tongue by cursing him, is what David does in this pasuk, which we'll discuss after we see it. Pasuk Chavtes, Yahulu al Rosh Yoav. Yahulu is translated in Masudas Sion as Yachanu v'Yishkenu, that it should rest. In brackets, it says in the English, the guilt should rest al Rosh Yoav, on his head of Yoav, el kol beis ovid, as well as your entire household. Now, the reason why v'el kol beis ovid, his family didn't commit the crime, it was only he, it was only Yoav. So on this Radak, we're in the middle of this pasuk, but it's worthwhile seeing, because otherwise we're going to get caught up in the next half of this pasuk. The Radak says, El kol beis aviv, im Yoav chet machetu bet aviv. What did his father's house do? What did the people that preceded him do? Lo amar ela al hamasayam enoso basimuchim es yado. It's only referring to those who assisted him and helped him out. So it doesn't mean some guy who was in a different part of the country that he's going to be cursed, but it means any part of his family, the kol beis aviv, all the members of his house that assisted in killing Avner or helping Yoav reach this plot.
But shouldn't he do it himself?
He did it himself, but there's a couple interpretations. We're going to, in Pasuk Lamed, we're going to see in a moment in Masudas David that the issue could be that they didn't protest, that if you know some information and you are sit quiet, you're also guilty. You should speak up.
But it definitely says that. It says in that Pasuk.
Right, that's what Masudas David is going to say, that even Avishai didn't pull the trigger, but he could have stopped him, and therefore you're held accountable. Maybe not on the same level, but you're certainly held accountable. So that's one answer. It's also possible that the way that he was able to get Avner to come, the Pasuk said that he sent, in Pasuk Chavav, it said, Vayetze Yoam Yim David V'yishlach Malachim Achri Avner. So he didn't do it alone. He had messengers that persuaded Avner to come. Now, it doesn't say who those messengers were, but that could be what this Pasuk is talking about when it says that it was Kol Beis Aviv. Those who helped him out could have been his close family members who also were upset of the death of Asael. So that's a possibility as well. Let's continue in this Pasuk, going back into the middle of Pasuk Chav Tet. It says, V'al Yikares Mibes Yoav, it should not cease, it should not be found, that it will never end in the house of Yoav, the following five little curses. A Zov.
What is Zov?
Zov is translated as a contaminated man. Someone who becomes Tameh, someone who becomes ritually impure. Umatsora, someone who is Saras, loosely, incorrectly translated as leprosy. Someone who has something wrong with their skin. Umachzik Bapelech, someone who is Machzik Bapelech, someone who holds on to a Pelech. Says Rashi, Nishan Amakolo, someone who is on a stick, a staff. Machmas Choyli Haraglayim, because his feet aren't working so well. Right, exactly. Benofel Bacherev, and you shall fall by the sword. Bechasar Lachem, you shall be missing bread. So, whichever way you look at it, it's not the nicest thing in the world. The question is, why is he going so far as to curse him in such a manner, in such a graphic way? And again, it's possible that what he's trying to do is to let everyone know, I had nothing to do with this death. I had nothing to do with it. Maybe it's just words, but if I'm going to go out of my way and publicly curse this person for having done this act, that will probably give more of proof in people's minds that, in fact, I had nothing to do with it and that I do not approve of his actions. That's one explanation. Now, the Me'am Loes explains, and we'll see this also in the Radak, and then afterwards in the English on page 221, in that order, the Me'am Loes explains the significance of these five things, that there's a reason why he used these five. And it's Mida Keneged Mida, it's the quid pro quo, which the Radak also uses that language of a Mida Keneged Mida, and we'll touch upon some of them. A Zav is someone who is impure, someone is Tamei, which obviously is not a holy person. And therefore, what he's saying is, since you acted, you yourself did something which was improper, and therefore your offspring also should be cursed, that they should not live lives of holiness, of greatness, like you have perhaps achieved up until this point. Saras is the punishment typically for a person who speaks
Lashon Hara,
and since he spoke ill of Avner without getting all the information first, he just jumped to conclusions and said this person's a Rasha, he's bad, even though he really wanted to make amends and become close again to Dov in his camp. So you jump to conclusions, you get Saratz. And since you move too quickly, this is my favorite one, of the Me'am Loes, since you moved too quickly to kill Avner, you just jumped. Because of this, the punishment is
you're not
going to be able to jump anymore. You'll be going to be walking with a cane. You'll be crippled. And why the sword? Well, that one is pretty obvious, because that's what you did to Avner. You killed him, and therefore your fate will also be by the blade. And when it came to David, when David welcomed Avner in Pasuk Chaf, it says that he welcomed him with a huge suda. They had a huge banquet, a feast. And therefore, since that's what you should have done, instead you killed him, therefore you are going to feel this the pain of hunger. Right? That's how the Me'am Loes interprets it. Let's look at the Radak. We're going to go out of order for a moment. If you look at the Radak is thin, medium, and very wide. So if we look at the medium lines, right? Yeah, that's another way of saying it. The second medium-sized line, V'od Amru Razal. All right. V'od Amru Razal. So our Chachamim, our sages tell us, Lama Kolu B'Ela Klolos. Why was David cursing him with these curses. But Mikol Beis Acharav She Amar Mibes Yoav. What was he bringing his household into this whole mix? Which the Radak already, we saw already one answer. Lafish Amru, because it's said, it's brought down, B'chamish Devarim, with five things, Adam Zakai Zochel Banim Hazakoyim, that the person who is deservant will be able to pass on five traits to their child. Kolom is to say, Shemoseh B'Kodesh Baruch Hu Levanu B'Eila Chamish Devarim B'Schus Abosein, because the father, the parents, act properly, so since they act properly, Hashem will grant those children with five great things, the five things we wish upon our children. B'Elohim HaChamish Devarim B'Noi, with beauty, B'Koach, physical strength, Osher, wealth, Chachma, knowledge, and B'Yomim, that they should live a long life. If we jump down to the second large line, where it's toward the end of that second wide line, V'hu Mida Kenegan Mida, right? This is what we talked about in the Me'amloes. Why is it measure for measure? Zav Kenegan HaKoach, Zagibur V'Zetoshish. A person who is afflicted with this contamination, it weakens the body, and therefore this is the opposite of the blessing of the physical strength that you would wish that your child would have. A mitzora, which a person who has all these problems with their skin, is keneged hanoi, is opposite the physical beauty that you would wish your child to be able to have. So therefore he was given the curse. An opposite of beauty is leprosy, which is not the literal translation, but nonetheless for our sake. We jump a few on the same third line, moving a few more words to after the comma. Machzik bapelech, the one who is walking on a stick, which means that you need to be supported, doesn't necessarily mean you need to be supported by a piece of wood, is keneged chacham. Kiperishu machzik bapelech tipesh, a person who needs support, which means they are dependent on something, and therefore that's also a tipesh, someone who does not have the capacity to be able to think and on their own, but rather dependent on others. Benofel Becherev, and the reason why he was cursed with a sword, this is probably the most obvious one, is keneged hashanim zem marach yamim v'zem mekatz yamim. You want your child to live, children to live long lives, and therefore the curse is that it's going to be a curse upon you and your household, a sword, that they will not live a long life. Their days will be cut short. V'chaser lechem keneged osher, and the bread, being hungry, is opposite the blessing which you hope your child will be comfortable, be able to live a comfortable life. But David is barulo ki zera Yoav yirishayim. And what was being explained was that Yoav will have children who will be wicked. And therefore this was the curse upon his future generations with these particular five. The five in which one will be blessed, those five he is cursed.
I have a problem with this whole issue.
Why? What's wrong?
Why did David just curse him? Yoav was a murderer. There were witnesses who saw him murder him.
We're going to see in the Masudas David on Pasuk Lamed Tes that unfortunately there were not witnesses, or there were not necessarily witnesses that wanted to testify. It's like the mafia, you know? It's like, no, I didn't see anything. So apparently there was no witnesses that could have actually testified to have him sentenced to death.
Well, it says Vayishma David, so he heard. So obviously.
He heard that he was killed. He's walking around bragging that he killed. But was he given? Were there witnesses? And even if there were witnesses, and Masudas David says another point, which is again, this is Pasuk Lamed Tes, which maybe we'll get to, probably not. Hasra. It's necessary that you must give warning. You must warn the person, which is another strange loophole in Jewish law, that you have to, before a person is about to pull a trigger, you have to say, you realize that if you do this, it's a capital offense, you will be sentenced to death. And that person says, I don't care, I'm doing it anyway, bang, That is the only time you'll be killed. That person will be sentenced for that.
Then
in that case, that person will not be sentenced to death in the Beit Din. Which, of course, the way that we perceive punishment in our religion is it's not just a punishment, but it's a kapara, it's an atonement. So that person who is sentenced to death by the Jewish courts, it's actually a very good thing, because that person will at least have an Olam Haba. That other person who will not receive any kapara in this world, unfortunately, he'll get his punishments elsewhere, which is not where he would really want it. But that's a possible approach as to why he wasn't sentenced to death. We're also going to see in that last pasuk in this parak that David really didn't feel he had the power to do it, because Yoav was such a powerful figure, as well as he was a man who ran the whole army. So if he would kill Yoav, all the Plishtim would just say, oh, this is our lucky day. And what's David going to do? To get rid of the most powerful soldier, it's not such a great idea, even though maybe it would be something he deserved. It's questionable if he did. Now, the other question is, was David right? Should David have done this? So the Radak feels that he should not have. And the fact that it's actually Kotzi Gemara and Sanhedrin. After this, we'll move on. That if you look at the top part of the Radak, where it says, Umaksik Bapelech, then two lines afterwards, it's where the lines are, what was the word, narrow. You'll see there's the parentheses which say Sanhedrin Memchet Bet. So over there, this is where we'll read four, five, a few more word lines. Kol haklolos elu niskaimu bezer shel David. All the curses that he gave to Yoav, they came right back to him, right?
To his kids, to his family.
And to his right, to his family. Lefi shelo kedin kol. It was not proper that David cursed him. Because after all, it was his known fact that it was a command to have killed him. That's what he did. In other words, he understood. Until Avner walked into that camp, Avner was our enemy. And that enemy needed to be killed. And David made no secret of that. If you ever see Avner, kill him. It happens to be Avner walked into the camp, begged for forgiveness, and David changed his mind. But up until that point, Yoav was just doing what he was supposed to do, kill him. So why would he be held responsible? In fact, I was just doing what you always told me. It was just a miscommunication. So now you're cursing me. So because you cursed me, which you shouldn't have, it falls upon your children. And that's what the next few lines of the Radak, which we don't have to see, discuss some of the names of David's descendants who are cursed with these five various things. But the idea behind this of the Radak is that if you exact punishment on a person, then Hashem will look back at you and say, well, who are you to say this person deserves to be punished? Are you so perfect? Hashem first looks at you. And if you're perfect, then you're in good shape. Maybe Hashem will then punish that person. But if there's a single character flaw within you, which is good chance, then you should be careful what you say. And that's the reason why it's said when it comes to the Yom Noroyim, when it comes to Rosh Hashanah, that you should always be forgive people, forgive. Right? And if you're done the kavschus, Hashem will be done the kavschus. It's because the way that you judge people, that's how Hashem will judge you. And therefore, David, looking critically at Yoav, which maybe he wasn't so bad after all, he was doing what he was supposed to do, which is the miscommunication, by him cursing, Hashem turns it around and says, I'm going to curse you and your children. Pasuk Lam. V'Yoav Avishai Achiv, and this is what we're going back. It says, Yoav and his brother Avishai, Hargu Avner, both of you killed Avner, even though Yoav was one that pulled the trigger, he's the one that killed him. Al Asher Hamas es Asael Achihem Begivoin Bemucham. Because Avner killed Asael, your brother, in this place, Givon B'Milchama, in the time of war. So if we look in the Radak and Pasuk Mamet, as well as the Masudas David.
In fact, Milchama says that maybe it was justified.
Exactly. Right, very good. That's one of the ways that the Mefarshim explain what does it mean? Why does it say it was Bil Mulchama? It was that who? What was justified? Who was justified?
Avner
killing Asael was justified. He didn't murder right. It was during war, and we'll bear that thought in mind when we see the second Radak or the second Mesudas Dabba. They both say the same thing. So let's see the Radak. The Avishai Haya im Yoav. He was with his brother Kishahargo when Avner was killed. Beniskimimo ukilo hargu gamkin. Since he was masking, he goes, "Yeah, do it, do it, do it." And you persuaded him. It's as though you did it yourself. And therefore, even though Avishai did not kill Avner, it was Yoav that killed Avner. It's the same thing, because if you were pushing your brother to kill him and persuading him to do it, you might as well have done it yourself, because you would have done it yourself, and therefore you're held just as accountable. And
it answered my question, Rabbi, because I want to know why it said lit Avner. It's right here.
Which is this?
In the Radak.
Oh, okay. Right. Right. The next Radak, which maybe the Mesudas Dabba is a little bit better, we're not going to see it, but you can see it inside, it's the same thing, where it says, B'milchama, Klomer, who Hariga Sa'el B'milchama? Avner killed a Sa'el during war. Behem Hargu Avner B'Shalom. You killed him in peace. So there's two parts. The first thing is, he did nothing wrong because it was during war. And not only that, you did something wrong because you killed him, not Milchama. So he was kind of saying, he didn't say it straight out. He said that Asael was killed during war. Asael was killed during war. But when it came to Avner's death, that you took his life, it wasn't done during war. And therefore, you shouldn't have done it. You were wrong. You should not have killed Avner. Okay. So that's how this is. But you're not allowed to seek revenge if it wasn't murder. He was allowed to do such a thing. So that's how some of them Mefarshim explain. Let's move on to Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Vayomer David el Yoav veel kol ha'am asher ito. So David said to Yoav as well as all the other people there, Karu bigdehem. I don't care that you murdered this guy or killed him, however you want to use those words. I want you to tear Kriya. I want you to rend your garments as though you are in Avelos. You're mourning the loss of this person. And he instructed Yoav to rend his garments. V'chigru sakim, and you should wear sakim, sackcloth. V'siftu lifnei Avner, and you should be part of this hesped, right? To be eulogized. V'amelech David holech achri yamit. And the king himself, David, went after the mitah where Avner's remains were carried. And the question is, we know David is a melech. So why does it say v'hamelech David? What does this come to signify? So if we look at the Radak in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, the Radak tells us, what was that?
A king is not allowed to.
Exactly. That's what the Radak points out. What? That's why he mentions v'hamelech David. What do you mean? He's a king, right? So let's see that inside. Very good. The Radak says k'shahoyim alichano solakfura. When you're going, he was going to be buried. Avner was v'yafal pishamru. Even though it says in the Talmud ki hamelech enu yotze achar meis, that a king, it's not, he's not allowed for whatever reason. It doesn't say why, but a king is not allowed to follow be part of the funeral procession. V'yafil meis lo meis, even if it's one of his direct relatives. Enu yotze mepesach. He's not allowed to leave the palace. He can obviously be part of the service, but once they leave that area, he is no longer allowed to go. Maybe he's vulnerable at that time, so therefore, people, or maybe he shouldn't be seen among the general populace as someone in such a state. Who knows? It doesn't explain. But Asa came David, so why did David do it? The Pasuk says, Hamelech David, so how could David have done so? L'hotzim alibam shel Yisrael, in order to remove from the minds and the hearts of the Jewish people, sheyachashdu kibet sasa neherak, that they should not suspect him that he was part of the plot of Avner's death. Kamosha Amar Basova Inyan, as we will eventually see in Pasuk Lamed Zayin, Beyedu Kol Am, they all knew, B'chol Yisrael B'yamahu, Ki Lo Haisa Mahamelech HaMeses Avner, that certainly the king had absolutely nothing to do with the death of Avner. Okay. So therefore, this is the reason why he went, and that's really what the Mesudas David points out as well, is to show that he had nothing to do with this whatsoever. And therefore he went and accompanied and went completely against the general rules of what a king usually does. Okay. Next pasuk, pasuk lamed bet. Vayikru es Avner b'chevron. And this pasuk, I was thinking about this pasuk last night when I was hearing about the New Hampshire elections. Primary, right. So I'll explain to you why in a second. Vayikru es Avner b'chevron. So they buried Avner in Chevron. Vayisa hamelech es kol vayeb. So he began, the king began to cry. Vayeb el kever Avner, and he cried by the gravesite of Avner. Vayivku kol am, and he was able to, by doing so, inspire everyone else to cry. So the question is, were they crocodile tears, as they say, or are they really sincere? So it's brought down in the Mishmat Sotzahav, the famous expression, Devarim hayotzim min halev, nichnasim el halev. That the most powerful words that can penetrate into someone's heart are words that come from the heart. So if they come from your heart, then you can sense it. You can sense the true sincerity of a person. And therefore, it's more meaningful when you hear it, that it goes directly to you. And therefore, he explains, if all the nation cried after David cried, Hare Vadai Shebechiaso Haisa Amitis, it must have been 100% sincere. It wasn't just to show the nation Shumitstair Amisas Aviv Abner that he was upset of his death. He had nothing to do with his death. It wasn't just to show I had nothing to do with it, but it was I really am upset that this person died. And because of that level of sincerity that came from his heart, therefore it inspired everyone else to cry as well. And that's the message of what a leader is. Which if I was here for Shabbos, which I'm not going to be, this is why I would have spoken about. That in this week's Parsha, Mishalach, we find that the B'nai Israel were unable to go any further because there was this huge body of water known as the Yam Suf. And therefore, no one wanted to go in first because it probably wouldn't have been a good day. You'd probably drown, which is what happened to the Mitzrayim. But an individual by the name of Nachshon stepped up, walked in, and once you have that level of leadership, then you can inspire the masses to do the exact same. And that's what people are looking for. People are looking for that level of leadership. And it was very fascinating, as I learned about last night, which I probably should have known about last week, was that in New Hampshire, Barack Obama was leading in the polls until someone began
to cry.
Someone began to cry.
She
ended up
inspiring the women.
That's what they say.
She brought in people from Massachusetts to vote.
Well, I don't know. But the way that I would tie somehow all of this in is that people looked up to her for some level of leadership, and they wanted to be able to see if she had this emotional side to her, or she was just, you know, as they said, a machine, a robot, as they said, they wanted to see the machine, the robot cry. It could be. The question was it sincere, was it not sincere? But many people interpreted it as sincere. And therefore they said,
some of the people, some of the time.
Right.
But I don't know if she'll fool all the people all the time.
So the question is the level, when David cries over here, he was able to accomplish the same thing. He was able to inspire the masses to be able to cry and to mourn for the loss of Avner. All right, so take that for what it's worth. I know maybe I shouldn't be comparing David HaMelech to Hillary Clinton, but nonetheless, I thought it was there was some type of a similarity. Maybe I'm dead wrong. Pasuk Lamed Gimel. Okay. Yeah, I guess that's worthwhile saying. V'ikonen HaMelech El Abner V'yomar. So the king began to say kinos, which is that word's familiar for Tisha B'Av, which means he was in lamentations. He was lamenting over the loss of Abner V'yomar, and he said the following. Hakamos Nabal Yomos Abner. Hakamos Nabal Yomos Abner. That Abner was killed, Kamos, he died, as in a naval, in a maneuver, in a lowly manner, which could be translated as that the one who killed him, but the way that the Mepharshim explained it was that he was killed in a lowly way. For example, Rashi says that Hakamos Rasha Becheret, it's as though he was a Rasha, that he died by the sword. Who dies by the sword? And this is not in battle, but this was not during battle. This was in Shalom. So it's someone who's more than Malchus. You rebel against the king, you break the laws, so then you're killed. So you're a Russia. He did not deserve to die by the sword as he did. Pasuk Lamed Dalet.
See, but Yoav never knew that he made peace with David.
Right.
As far as he was concerned, he was still
alive. I thought he didn't know. But you said before that he...
No, he didn't know. He wasn't there when he made the peace.
Right. He must have heard.
It's questionable. It's up to interpretation for sure. Pasuk Lamed Dalet. Yodecha, your hands, it's as though he's speaking to Avner. Yodecha asuros, your hands were not asuros, Mesuzah Sion says kshuros, they were not tied up. They weren't in the handcuffs. Raglech and your feet, Lolin chushtayim, because we're nechoshes, copper, but Mr. Sion says, shalsholos nechoshes, copper cuffs, all chains, right? You were not all chained up and locked up. You were free. And as you didn't commit any crimes to deserve this, that you were in jail and then you were sentenced to death there afterwards. Hugash linfo lifnei b'nei avo nefalta. As someone who falls, translated here before, villains have you fallen, which is what it looks like. You know, you don't deserve to have died such a death. Top of page 222, Yosifakol Libchos Alav. It was such powerful words that it caused more people to cry. Vayavukol Lahavros as David Lechem Beod Hayom. So all the nation provided bread for David during the day. Lahavros, as Rashi says, is Lashon Suda, which, as we know, that when a person comes back from a kfuro, it's called the Sudas Havrot, which, this word, right, that's what the word means. So, but it's specifically geared to someone who is in Shiva, the beginning thereof.
What does the word mean?
I never
heard that word.
The Sudas
Havrot.
What does the word mean? This is how it's... Lashon Seuda, Rashi says. Mesuzah Sion says, Lachil Seuda Moetes.
I wonder what it comes from.
Not sure. I don't know. But that's the term that's used for the meal immediately after the Kfur, the Sudas Havra. So that, and that comes from this word. Havros. Havros is to make a meal. Anyway, so they provided as though that he was like one of the direct relatives. The Shava David Lamor, and so David made the following shvua. He said, "Ko yasli elokim v'chol Yosef, Hashem should do, and he should continue to do." And says Mesudas David, that's the shvua which we find many times throughout Tanakh, that language. Ki'im with nebo Hashemesh etom lechem o kol uma. Which he's basically saying that I am not going to eat anything. I don't want to taste anything. I'm part of this process. I'm so devastated and upset that I can't even eat. I can't even eat. But that's part of the reason why a person immediately after the kfura, we don't expect them, or we shouldn't expect them to make their own meal because they're so devastated. That's why you have to provide for them. So, and try to encourage them to eat. That's why you need someone to provide that meal, the Seudos Avraham, because it's a time in which they themselves naturally would not want to eat. Therefore, you need people to come to encourage them to still eat. Pasuk Lamed Vav. The whole Hikiru v'yite b'nechem. Everyone in that nation, they all recognized, in brackets is here, David's sincerity. V'yite b'nechem. It was good in their eyes. Kichol asher asa hamelech. B'enei kol ha'am tov. Everything that he did, it was considered good. They were very impressed with everything that he did. Mesudas David just basically says what were the things that he did. So it says Hatobi Nechem Kol Asher Asa, everything he did. Behim Halicha Charmita, the fact that he went after the casket, his crying, his lamentations, his hesped, all those things they were impressed by, because maybe it shows his humanistic side. Vayedu kol am v'chol Yisrael b'yamahu. They knew on this day, which we saw already, this pasuk in the Mefarshim. Kilo ha'isem ha'melech l'hamis es Avner ben Ner. Clearly, the king had nothing to do with Avner's death. V'yomer ha'melech el avadav. So the king turns to his servants and says, "Halo teidu, you know ki sarvigodol nafal hayom hazev Yisrael." You should know that this person that died was no simple individual. This was a powerful officer or great man. That was the person that died today. It was a tremendous, devastating loss for us all. And therefore, the last pasuk, you can ask, so why doesn't he kill Yoav? V'anochi hayom rachu mashuach melech. But today, implying only today, and we'll see the Radak picks up on this, I am the anointed king. V'anoshim o'elev b'nei suruya kashim imeni. And those who are B'nai Surya, referring to Yoav, I'm not even mentioning his name, they're kashim imeni, they're very powerful. Therefore, Yishalom Hashem l'osi hara kira'aso. I can't do anything, but let Hashem repay his rishis, the wicked act that he did, that which he deserves, the punishment that he deserves. So we see the Radak. The Radak says, what do you mean that he was anointed today? So Radak says, Rach b'malucha k'ilu hayom nimshachti l'melch. I am very soft and weak as a king because it's as though I was just anointed as the king today. But he explains beautifully why it really was as though it was today. Ki hayom hahu hayetchilas malachti al Yisrael al yidei Avner. Since Avner now sided with me today, before I was a king of a little group of Israel. Once Avner joined, now I was really melech for everyone. So this was really as though it was my first day of a melech for all of Klal Yisrael. But ha'noshim o'ela b'nei Suria, these other people, the people from B'nai Suria, Yoav's mother's name, Shehem Kashmir, they're very powerful, for me to be able to do anything. Zachar Suria Imam, it mentions his mother, Zachar Avihim, doesn't mention Yoav's father, Klomer, B'nai Achosihim, they are related to me, right? They're relatives. They should have been more cautious and more concerned about me, and they weren't. They were not sensitive to me, and they should have. They were my relatives. Sherman Komos, Shizachar Imam, other places it mentions the mother, V'omer Yoav ben Suria, Avisha ben Suria, L'fisha Yosin Nechbanim B'zecha Imam L'chava David. To honor David, that's why it mentions Suria, even though that was their mother's name. We'll conclude with the Mesudas David. The Mesudas David says over here, which we touched upon, which is kind of in the middle of Pasuk HaMatas, the first word on the line is Imahem, Kama, Lavi, Shemin Hadin, Ein Leoav Mishvat Maves. Yoav did not deserve to die, could not be sentenced to death. Shulhayu Sham Eidin Vahasra, because there was not adequate witnesses or warning at the time. And therefore, because of this, I don't have the opportunity to kill him. I don't have the ability to punish him, but you should be rest assured to know that Hashem will be the one that will be Shalem Osei Hara Karaso. Those people that do evil, they will be punished according to their evil. We'll stop here, and we finish.